Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Adrian Puren, Acting Executive Director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases. Good morning. Is there a new variant of interest?
No, not this particular variant that was reported from South Africa. It's still not on the list of variants of concern or variants of interest. So I think it's really an alert that there is a variant that has been noted. And I think what is of interest from a virological perspective and from an epidemiological perspective is that this variant has accumulated a number of mutations, both located in variants of interest and of concern at a much more rapid rate compared to other variants. However, it is in circulation in South Africa and I think in about 8 other countries. However, that the numbers are really small at this particular stage. But as you know, you identify these variants and then before you know it, because of the time lags, and as you know, these variants are, or the virus is transmitted in a non-symptomatic way as well. So the spread is probably larger than what we're currently are seeing. So I think those are the sorts of things that we need to bear in mind.
Can I just get some clarity on that? What does that mean, that it's transmitted in an asymptomatic way?
Yeah, so in other words, if you look at the current rates of transmission, if you look at those PCR rates, and you then do what we call a serological surveillance, you'll find that sometimes 10 or 20 times more people have been infected with the virus compared to what you've actually measured with PCR. And that's a result because of asymptomatic transmission of the virus. So again, even though we're measuring, let's say we've only identified 50 circulating viruses in this particular lineage, it's likely that there are more people infected than that 50, in other words. So it's really critical, therefore, that we do keep track of this particular variant because it has the potential, based on the mutations, that it can be more transmissible or can be transmissible, highly transmissible. It can also evade the immune systems as well. We don't know about disease severity at all at this particular point. So those are the types of things that people are probably looking at in the laboratory to determine whether or not the behavior of this particular virus is any different to what we are currently seeing with the current circulating variants. And of course, from a vaccine perspective, I think it's still therefore really critical for us to encourage people to vaccinate because the higher the degree of vaccination we achieve, the more we are able to control new variants from arising. And those variants that may arise certainly may well be more transmissible, more pathogenic, but at least we can control and hopefully control it with the current vaccines that are in circulation.
Speaking of the vaccines, yesterday when I was recording a podcast on this, we received a lot of questions from people saying, when are our under 18s going to be vaccinated, given the fact that they are socializing a lot more, they are out there, and in other parts of the world, a lot of the transmission seems to be coming through kids who aren't vaccinated. What is our policy with that, or what is likely to happen?
Yes, I think our position currently is that we still have a way to go with regard to our adult population, i.e. those above the age of 18, although I think it is about 11 million doses have been certainly reached the arms, as it were. The actual distribution across the specific age groups, I'm not clear on what those numbers are, or the coverage that's been achieved, especially in the older age groups above 55 and those with and without comorbidities. Of course, we really, really need to reach those individuals because those are the individuals that are more vulnerable, more likely to have severe disease and end up in ICU. So I think it's really up. I think our current position is really around trying to cover the adult population first and then determine whether or not we are in position, I think, to actually reach the younger age group. So you're right, from a and again, I know that this word is certainly falling out of popularity, but I think we can still use it, herd immunity. Ultimately, if we want to have effective herd immunity, then obviously vaccinating children above the age of 12 would certainly be an important consideration. But I think for now, given the vaccine supplies, given what we need to achieve first, I think let's focus on the adults, get that achieved, And then I think we can certainly change focus if vaccine. Although that, as you know, there's a lot of debate about, you know, the equitable distribution of vaccines worldwide. So I think that also does certainly play an important role.
Right. Although that said, surely somebody who's over 55 that has, or 60, I can't remember what that first level was. I think it was 60. Somebody over 60 who hasn't yet had the vaccine hasn't done so because it's their choice. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying that they have chosen not to. We can't really wait on other areas of our population. If somebody is vaccine hesitant or has chosen not to for whatever reason, which I might probably won't agree with, but that's not the point. Surely we just want to make sure that we just get as many people done as possible and then worry about those that are vaccine hesitant.
Yes. Well, yes and no. I think, you know, if you look at what's happening in some of the provinces or has happened in some of the provinces, I think we should still try and make that effort. To reach those individuals, because if there's still a fair proportion of individuals that can, let's say a new variant does arise that is more transmissible, pathogenic, then we will overwhelm our systems. And so I think it's really still critical. I understand some of your point that you have raised, but I think it's still critical for us to try and ensure that we do try and engage those individuals or make the vaccine accessible. I think we can't just simply say that they're hesitant. It may also be about, you know, access as And so all those particular factors, I think we really need to make the greatest effort to achieve high levels of coverage in those types of populations first, before actually considering moving below the age of 18.
Right. I mean, that makes perfect sense. It just going back to the variant, the last two variants really have been the Delta as well as the Lambda, which doesn't seem to be that much of a concern for us here in South Africa. Given that this Delta has been around for the last couple of months, and that's really the one that's impacting on most places around the world, are we seeing this slow down a little bit in terms of the speed at which this virus is changing? Or is this typical?
I think there would be some debate about that. I think that there will be constant, if you like, not constant, there will be evolution of this particular virus. And I think what will be important, and that comes back to your point about who do we vaccinate and when do we vaccinate and the equitable distribution of viruses. So as long as we do not vaccinate large proportions of populations, variants will arise and will develop. There may well be, as a consequence of increased vaccination, the virus may reach particular points for what we call so-called convergent evolution, and adaptation. But the concern is that if we do not vaccinate sufficiently well enough, we may end up with variants that are even more transmissible than we currently are seeing, more pathogenic. So I think it's that type of debate and that type of concern, and therefore I think the monitoring of what is in circulation becomes really important. So I think we need to be concerned that there is a variant, but we know that there are always going to be variants. But what is going to be the course of this particular variant? And as you know, each of our particular waves was characterized by different variants. And so what will happen in our so-called, if there is a fourth wave, what will that look like? But I'm hoping in the context of greater vaccine coverage, we will see a different pattern than what we are currently are seeing. And hopefully the effects on our hospital system will be less marked than it has been in the second and a third resurgences that we've observed.
Another one of the questions that people asked yesterday, which I thought was an interesting one, and I would imagine for you it's quite important in terms of research. People were saying, well, shouldn't we start seeing hospital figures divided into vaccinated and unvaccinated to showcase just how important vaccinations are? The doctor that we asked answered, well, you know, you can't, ethically it's quite difficult. difficult to disclose any of that information around around people, around patients. But I would imagine from an NICD perspective, that information is quite important.
Absolutely, and whoever you're listening is obviously quite aware of what's happening outside of South Africa. In fact, that is how often many of these countries are now reporting. If you look at the UK, Israel, United States are good examples of public data that does show that distribution. And actually, it's really incredible to see how that divergence occurs between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And again, I guess one just needs to be cautious that this is not about stigma or trying to put labels on people, but just really emphasizes the potency of these particular vaccines. I know certainly the vaccines may not always be as potent as they were against the original strains versus the Delta, but still the evidence is there that the current circulating vaccines are really incredibly useful in terms of preventing severe disease and hospitalizations and deaths. And that type of data demonstrates that very clearly. Mm. It's really good. And I'm hoping that in South Africa we'll be heading that way as well.
I'm sorry, you say we will be heading that way?
My sense would be yes. I think that the tools
are
available.
I think that's great. I think that's important. Because nothing speaks, really nothing speaks like the facts. If there's 10 people in hospital and only one of them is vaccinated out of the 9, well, that tells you a very, very important story, more than anything else, you know, and all of the nonsense that people are reading out there will tell you.
Absolutely, yes. So again, you know, coming back to your point about, you know, vaccine hesitancy and access, that type of information becomes very important for people to say, well, yes, we can be led by science.
Absolutely right. It is 6:57. Professor Adrian Puren, thank you as always for speaking to us.